Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized.
Yes. Look at how he did that.
We were just watching ladies bowling, and Nick was really excited about the demeanor of the announcer, the enthusiasm that the announcer brought to the game. Yeah, so I think that's going to be Nick's attitude for this whole episode.
I've been inoculated or indoctrinated with that, whatever the word is.
Probably both. Well, here we are. You know me. Oh, come on.
Here's my buddy Andy.
Blue microphones. We love them. And who's
Does that
guy?
Count?
It's good enough.
Okay.
Listen to that.
Ah, yes.
It's never sounded better, and he's never looked better. Here he comes. Hulking his way across the stage. The one.
Oh, man.
The only. Nick Pollock in the house. There he is.
Thank you. Now, anybody listening, if they've ever heard of the Pierogi Fest in Whiting, Indiana, if they'd been there in, what, 03? No, 04?
04.
04? They'd been walking by. They could have heard that song done twice.
03. You're right.
03? Okay. Right. They would have heard that music twice that night at least.
Wait. 04. 03 was the parade.
Okay.
Where we were selling the singles of it.
And then we had
04 was when we played live.
We had to talk our way into coming back in 04.
Yeah.
And that was it, right?
They didn't want us back in 05.
It was over.
I actually remember the lady's email that when we requested, hey, see you guys got the dates announced. You need some talent. She said, it doesn't even make sense. She used the wrong word. She said, we're actually having a change of venue this year. But thank you for inquiring.
A total lie.
A smokescreen response.
Like, either that's the worst lie in history, because it was, or she just used the wrong word. Venue was not, make any sense with what she was. I think she was just trying to say, we don't want you guys this year. Well, that was too much.
And that was okay.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
She Did you guys have out. Any repeat bookings other than at my coffee shop?
The only one I could think of, it doesn't really count, was the Hammond National Guard Armory. That doesn't count because that's like a rental.
Yeah, you get invited by anybody.
Yeah. There. So I don't.
Well, you guys rented out the Towley Theater, too. They didn't have you back. After you trashed the lobby.
They had us back in a different form.
No, but we played there twice.
That's true.
So that's a repeat. And we didn't rent that.
That's true.
But they just booked us.
Oh, I thought you rented that.
No,
place.
No. So that's the closest. So two and out at that place. And then Nick and I in another incarnation, but that's a story for another day. Who's that third voice? Oh my God, you want him. We got him. Come on.
Succumb to my power, my age, and my weight. All of which are considerable.
There he is. It's the breakout star of the podcast medium. Put your hands together for Chris Hell. Nick already beat me to it. His hands are together.
I'm stoked tonight.
Don't ever speak over R. Kell's exhaling again during my intro.
Did I say something?
Me?
Somebody spoke over him.
Well, that's inappropriate. And it'll never happen again.
I laughed.
Maybe that's what it was.
That won't stop anytime soon.
There's going to be no shortage of laughter, especially today. Nick's fired up. Nick's bringing good vibes only. So,
well, after last week's debacle, should be interesting to see what happens this week. It's Nick's pick, right?
It is.
Oh, that's fun. This is going to be fun. I'm excited. I'm so excited. What a day. Excuse me, I'm belching over here. Strange day. Oh, I want to tell you guys a quick story. Just something that happened to me today that I thought was humorous. I went to Target. I had to go to the bathroom. So I went into the stall because there was a guy at the urinal, and I didn't want to be a weirdo. Because there was just go right next to him. So I'm like, I'll just go in the stall. And there's a smudge of crap on the outside of the toilet bowl on the front.
Of course.
Oh, God.
And I was just thinking, how could that have even happened? I'm trying to figure out the physics in my head of how on the front... On the outside, there's a smudge. Like, was it that much? Like, he almost made it and didn't make it?
You know, the guy was pretending he was on a jet ski, riding it backwards.
So So I was thinking maybe he tried to do the AC Slater pose and misjudged where the hole was.
One hand on the handle, pretending like he's driving a jet ski. That's what I'm going
People
with.
People are animals. Yeah. Animals.
Yeah, so that's where I'm coming from today.
You guys want to open this first package?
We got a package.
Does anybody want?
Yeah, how about Chris opens that?
Okay, because I already...
We got something.
More or less know what it is.
What do you mean you know what it is? How do you know what it is?
Because I was told.
And it's open to...
By the person who sent it.
Who sent it? Lombardozzi?
Oh, snap. Our pal, Tommy Lombardozzi.
Our buddy from the Hoof.
I won't give the street number, but apparently he lives on Corpses Avenue in Brooklyn.
That's what it looks like, yes.
Yeah. All right, what do we got here? What is this?
I don't know what it is.
It says
Chris doesn't want to open it.
Black tar heroin written on
something wrapped in foil.
It says black tar horse.
Oh,
it says that.
It does.
Same thing.
It's a nice thing to send in the mail. a brick wrapped in foil.
Oh, that Tommy.
We got a Ghostbusters 2 trading card. Eat this, Vigo.
Okay. I only saw two. I never saw one.
You're kidding.
I've never seen it all the way. I've seen two many times. Same thing with Caddyshack. It's just, I don't know what it is.
I mean, if you see two first, you can't go back.
No.
Watch a lesser
circuit.
Film. Yeah.
Ooh. Yes, these are what he promised.
And what are they?
They are cannoli bars, candy bars.
Look at that.
Only available, I think, in his area.
Very nice of Tommy.
Yeah,
send him a thank you.
All right, we got a note here. Should I read the note or the back of the Eat This Vigo card? There's a little write-up on here.
Yeah, go for it.
The Ghostbusters fire their slime blower weapons and hose Genos from head to toe. Then they turn to hate-crazed Vigo, who has almost completely emerged from the painting. Great. All right, now here's the note that came with the candy.
Eat this.
Nick! Exclamation point. I appreciate the entertainment you guys give us every week, as well as our friendship. Enjoy these candy bars. I hope they're all you've hoped for. All the best. Tommy. P.S. Sorry for my shitty handwriting. I hope you can read it.
Well, sounds like you did.
No problem there.
And we've got a button of Tattoo and Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island attached onto there.
So oh,
that's
kind
of nice.
It's a nice little button.
Never seen anything like that before. So
that's
pretty
good.
Cool. Almost blanked on the names of the characters there.
Yeah, I only know the actor names. I've never actually watched Fantasy Island. Another thing I missed out on.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Tommy.
Was there another
package? There's another package right here.
Yeah, there was talk before the show that there are multiple packages.
This one doesn't have a note. It's self-explanatory.
But there's looks like a shoe-sized box.
Well, there's one for each of you. Would you like me to tell you who it's from, or do you want to just open it and guess when you see what it is? Because you'll be able to guess.
Each of us, you didn't get anything?
I already took mine out.
You already took yours out?
Yep.
Okay.
So, there you
go. What is this opening packages before we arrive at the studio? It's not how it's done.
Mine were melted, though, so I had to... I had to doctor mine a bit.
Looks to be what appears to be coffee mugs. It's one for Nick Polak.
I can see who's on it already.
The Matthias Jabs coffee mugs. Oh, beautiful.
Who would that be from?
There's only one person who we sent it to who was on the episode with us.
Jericho?
Chris Jericho himself.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Sent us a gift.
Did not know.
So now we've got people. So we talked about this before when Nick was on the Deep Purple podcast. They gave him a gift. Chris got a gift.
I did. the Weekend Homo book.
That's right. And now...
Easy, Nick. Easy.
And
careful.
Now,
blue microphone.
Now Chris Jericho's giving us gifts after appearing on our show. So yeah. I think we have to get in the gift-giving mode and make up for all these nice things people are giving us.
That's so great.
But yeah. Awesome
stuff.
Well,
thank you, Tommy and Chris.
Mm-hmm. This can be my morning go-to mug.
Oh, yeah.
Start the day off right with that thing.
Yeah. I'll be at the bus stop with that thing in the winter.
You're going to take it with you.
Almost makes you want to go back to the office, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just casually walk up to somebody's cube with the Matthias Jabs coffee mug. So, what's happening? You busy today? Anything I can help you with? The whole time the person you're talking to is like, what the fuck is that coffee mug?
They don't hear a word
Who
you're
is
saying.
That?
What kind of charisma is coming from?
And why am I suddenly feeling moist in my nether region looking at that?
And why was Stone Cold Steve Austin so wrong about the charisma factor? That I don't know.
He was way off base on that.
Look at that mug.
Thing of beauty.
Incredible piece.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, one more piece.
Let's.
It's on a plate.
I actually, before that, I'm ready to announce the song.
We didn't even do the Bozo Pewter.
No, not this week. It's a special dedication this week.
Okay, fine.
Special dedication. Somebody's birthday is this Wednesday, June 23rd.
Hmm. Okay.
I'll reveal it after the song.
All right, you want me to do
it? Announced. Yeah.
You
think,
ready?
I think I should just do it first, and then we'll follow up.
All right.
All right, Harold. This one's called
All Hell Break Stuff.
Off of
Limp Misfit.
By the band.
Or, I mean, Limp Misfit. It could be the album, too. I don't know.
It's a YouTube exclusive, apparently.
Glenn Danzig turned 66 on Wednesday.
Oh, man.
Of course he turned 66.
Oh, this is a
big
imagine,
for him. Imagine the dedications, adding another digit to
the memes will be in numbering in the tens of thousands to commemorate that.
Yeah, everything kind of lined up for that.
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
And then the dessert.
Mm-hmm.
We have
it goes with it.
It kind of goes with it.
We don't call it dessert.
Oh, sure. Whatever it might be.
It's not a dessert.
There's no dessert.
Time for a big treat. Big treat. Oh.
We have. You guys each got a slice of dirty black bottom pie.
Dirty Black Bottom, that was the title of a Spice catalog selection, wasn't it?
Very well could have been.
Should have been.
If it wasn't, it should have been.
Yeah.
Do they even do that anymore? Do they have titles for things? Or is it just random internet scattered pornography? I don't know how these things are cataloged anymore.
I've completely lost touch with that. And can't say that I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The sordid world to be drawn into.
Yeah. All right,
let's
get back to the matter at hand.
We're handling two sordid artists mashed up together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give a little background to people who have no idea what we're talking about.
So this is it's got 103,000 views as of this recording, but Andy
should be 10 times that.
Andy sent it to us back when it had 300.
Yeah.
How did this come on your radar through some Danzig news? News desk or something like that?
A Danzig Facebook group, but it was one of those that's primarily based on cyberbullying Glenn Danzig.
Yeah.
Which, celebrating him through humor more so than just news. Yeah. Yep. So that's how we came across it.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I don't know. But I think you guys felt the same way.
I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you.
I just thought, I'm not sure.
I pressed it, I clicked on it, and then
it just started going
right away. I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's an instant bullseye. I mean, there's nothing about this that isn't perfect.
So, to break it down for everybody who's completely unfamiliar with what they're about to hear, it is a cover of the Limp Bizkit song Break Stuff, done in the style of the Misfits.
Mm-hmm.
Danzig era, of course.
Yes. And that's why they're limp misfit. And
now, is
all
this,
hell breaks stuff.
Is this, do we know if there are multiple Limp Bizkit songs to be done in this style?
So I looked.
Style?
This is the only upload they've posted. The only video on this whole YouTube channel.
People are clamoring
and
for more.
They're anonymous, too. They've held on to anonymity.
Well, it says, from Lodi, Florida. If you're...
But in on the, well, the guys have names, too. Like,
that's how I'm going to say okay. Here. Performed by Glenn Durstzig and Wes Wolfgang von Borlenstein.
They've got all the bases covered.
And isn't it Lodi, New Jersey is where Misfits are from? And then
yeah.
Limp Bizkit's from somewhere in Florida, Tallahassee or something.
Ah, interesting. Clever.
So, yeah, so they're doing a little combo.
So, like a early Kiss-esque mystique with these guys.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, this is on par with the My Dick stuff in term. I mean, the My Dick guys are way more prolific, but this is just like an instant slam dunk. From the second you hit play on it, you're like, okay, this is gonna be good.
And when was it released? It was only two weeks ago, as of this recording.
It's more than that.
Well, it's rounding it to 2 weeks on.
That says May 27th.
Yeah,
coming up in a month.
How about that? Taking the world by storm. Looking at some.
I had it going on a loop earlier today.
Today,
I admit it.
Yeah.
Like when I get a lull during work, I'll punch it up on a loop, just keep it going over and over. Never get sick of it. It's hilarious.
These comments are great too. It's like, this restored my faith in music. I like this way more than I should.
It's well, we haven't listened to it yet, so you know we don't like to praise or bash things too much beforehand. But
come on,
well, I will say it's one of the most exciting musical discoveries of this year for me. So,
oh, no question for me either. Or also,
here's a good one. You're really gonna want to continue doing this. It's a fucking slam dunk.
Yeah, that's, I'll back that.
Oh, here, last one. The production value of this recording is better than Danzig's last two solo records.
Well, I'd like to touch on that while we're listening. Yeah.
Okay.
That occurred to me as well.
Okay. You're familiar with Danzig's last two releases?
Yeah, the Elvis one and the covers one.
The two covers.
Oh, okay.
Albums, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones we said sounded like he just banged it out, like karaoke style, one after another.
Probably did.
And that's the way the tracks sound as well. All right. So, we don't know a lot about this. Any other thoughts before we get into it?
No, I think we gave it all.
Oh, and the last good thing, the logo on the video, it's the Crimson Ghost Misfit skull with the red Yankees cap.
That's right.
And then Limp from Limp Bizkit, and then Misfit is in the style of the Misfits. So all hell breaks stuff.
By the way, have you ever watched...
Now, what is All Hell based on? Is that a Misfits song?
All Hell Breaks Loose.
Yeah, All Hell Breaks Loose is Misfits. And then Break Stuff, obviously, is Break Stuff.
I'm not super familiar with the Misfits. In fact, the only song I've ever heard from them is the one we did on the show, Bullet.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
Andy, have you ever watched the Crimson Ghost movie from 1946?
No. I know that's what that
logo's
from.
It's on YouTube, just in case. I've watched it.
Is it good?
It's as good as any other like black and white serial, you know. It's a full movie, but it you know, it's like that.
Okay.
Like you're watching, I don't know, like an old Batman serial or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. But that's like the evil character? Is that?
Oh yeah, and it's exactly what he looks like too.
How weird. Yeah.
I mean that's
they just took it.
He just took it from this 1946 movie.
Why not?
Yeah.
Worked for him.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's all calm down. Have a commercial. After this commercial, we will start this masterpiece, or whatever. We all know it's a masterpiece. It doesn't matter if I give it away. All right. Here we go. Hold on. You monkey. Here we go.
Firstly, it sounds more to me like an old Ramones song musically than the Misfits. But I guess there's not a whole lot of difference besides production in some of those instances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are going to have to speak to the nuances of the music. I'm completely clueless about it.
It's, to me, it's like an old Ramones song. Like, at least sonically, that's how it's coming across.
I hear it. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it still hits the mark, mm-hmm. for being a Misfits. but then the vocal
is what really does.
Yeah, I mean,
it's masterful. It's perfect. Exactly. Perfect impression.
And it's funny because, like, Danzig, you know, love him or hate him, you can't deny that his vocals are very expressive.
Yeah,
like he doesn't just do a boring vocal on anything. And the same can be said with Fred Durst. Love him or hate him,
that's true.
He puts a lot into the performance, mm-hmm. as far as trying to get the emotion across.
That's very true. Maybe that's where this came from. He saw some parallels, even though it's not apparent immediately. But if you think about it,
well, no. But the way these guys put it together, it's instantly. Obvious that it should have happened a long time ago.
Do we have the lyrics up?
I do.
Okay. Just in case someone's unfamiliar.
You want me to read them all up to this
I
point?
Think so, because it might be unintelligible for some.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. Okay. I think those two lyrics in the middle were some of the funniest. Everything is fucked, everybody sucks. I mean, perfectly executed.
The way he says head off is pretty great, too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Cause,
I mean, we could pick this apart. We could talk about this for 3 hours.
Yeah. The guy who's singing this is very well-versed in Danzig nuance. Because mm-hmm. you hear the way he delivers these, you're like, I can't pinpoint where I've heard that exact...
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah,
it's stuff that Danzig's done.
Totally.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, coming up here is my favorite. Well, there's a lot of them, but this is right up there with my favorite delivery of the lyric.
All right. Here we go.
Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. Just his inflection at the end. And he varies it up throughout the song, which is the beautiful thing.
He very nearly loses the timing.
Almost missed it, right? Yeah. Almost lost it there for a second.
Yeah, and it's perfect because you listen to old Misfits stuff. It's not...
Yeah, I mean...
It's not...
It's not polished.
No, it's not polished whatsoever, no. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Ready for the chorus?
Yeah, this is my, I would say, second favorite, possibly tied for the top. The way he says bullshit, and again, the inflection when he says it and the way he mixes it up throughout the song is brilliant.
And he's got it down how Danzig does it, where he'll do kind of a growly voice, and then he'll just go to like a straight up, clean,
yeah,
like he goes into like his Elvis kind of thing,
uh-huh. Right, trying to hit some upper register
and
a little bit.
Abandoning that sort of gravelly tone in order to do it.
I'm gonna rewind it a couple seconds. I think there's just something about
rewind it a couple minutes as far as I'm concerned.
Something about this, when you play it on YouTube, it like misses the first split second of where you left off, so I'm gonna go back so we can hear that again. I think you better quit talking that shit. You'll be living with a father. It's all about the he said, she said bullshit. I think you better quit talking that shit.
Now, obviously, these are not sophisticated individuals in terms of their recording technique, but like I said, one of the beauties of this is, you know, everything like top shelf music nowadays is so so mechanical. Like, yeah. If you get a good vocal take, you just cut and paste it throughout the song, so it's the same fucking thing. You listen to this guy as they get through. Every repeated lyric from earlier in the song is delivered differently, and equally, if not more so, entertaining as the song moves along.
Yeah.
You don't get that from, like, the top shelf bands anymore. They're either too lazy, or they're the old timers who can't, you know, really cut it vocally, so they have to take one take that they get right and paste it throughout a song.
Or that's just the game now.
Yeah, the producer.
Well, right, there's that. But yeah. Whatever the reason is, you don't get a vocal performance like this from a top shelf band. So these guys are actually better than any top shelf band out there.
Name one, and they're better.
Yeah, the vocalist anyway.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's one guy for the whole thing, but who knows?
Well, it's at least possibly two.
Well, yeah, based on what they've
listed out. But yeah. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. You gotta give me some of those lyrics.
Those are great.
Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. Let me get around this pop filter. All right. It's just one of those days, feeling like a freight train. First one to complain leaves with a blood stain.
My goodness.
Damn right, I'm a maniac. You better watch your back, because I'm fucking up your program.
The damn right I'm a maniac just it took me by surprise on this listen. I've heard it many times already.
Uh-huh.
But that line, for some reason, stood out to me this time.
Now, do you mean in the original context or in this delivery?
In this delivery.
Okay.
Yeah, I never really keyed in on that either. But, you know, like all great art, every time you consume it, something else becomes apparent that solidifies its status as a masterpiece.
Well, there's going to be a lot more of that. We've got almost two more minutes.
So. Oh, good. And you're stuck up, you get knocked up, but that's how to get fucked up. You best fight it, so stay
away, motherfucker. Just one of those days.
There's a variation on that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's
okay. Die away,
motherfucker.
Yeah, he's really getting into it.
And then you're stuck up, you just lucked up, next in line to get fucked up. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. And then back into the chorus. Hilarious.
I guess I haven't listened to Limp Bizkit ever on purpose, but I guess I haven't heard this song, the original, for a while, and just forgot how brutal the lyrics were. Just pure, you know, just...
You mean brutal in what way? Like violent?
Yeah, just like pure aggression, pure violence.
Mm-hmm.
A bit shocking, even still.
It's funny that this is... I'm not making any kind of comment about how I feel about it or whatever, but it's funny that this was like a legitimate pop song of 1999. I think that was the right year. Maybe it was 2000.
I would argue, and I've never looked it up, never bothered as far as sales figures, ticket sales, record sales, but I would say Limp Bizkit was arguably the biggest band in the world around that time.
Yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
I think which so. Is,
for someone who didn't live through that, anybody listening who's younger might think, no, come on. No,
I for
think,
real.
Yeah, that was legitimately
they were
the case, I think.
For a 2 or 3 year period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Durst, just his offstage persona and the stuff he was involved in, just the way he carried himself. Just, you know, really cast the band in such a negative light. But I'll say what I've said, I think, a few times on this show. I find Limp Bizkit to be musically interesting, including the vocal, the tone of it, the inflection, phrasing of his. I think overall, there's definitely some quality there.
I don't know a lot about how Fred Durst carried himself. off stage or whatever, but like, what do you, can you think of anything that made him so unsavory? Because I feel like it was more just like
just an obnoxious rock star.
Well, right? And like okay. Nick said, they were the biggest band in the world. It was almost like with Dave Grohl, it was like he was fucking everywhere. That's,
okay, I was gonna say I could see it being a case of too much, and you just don't want to see him anymore. And he had a distinct look and a distinct right. voice, and the band had a distinct sound of the time. And right. you're just like, we're done with that, and now. You know, we hate you.
Well, it was not only that, it was just like, you know, the style of music appealed generally to white trash people. He appeared to be and was and is a white trash guy from Florida. Didn't have the advantage of at one time being a member of Nirvana, which is why Grohl gets a pass for his Foo Fighters stuff. Foo Fighters are Creed with a member or two of the band who used to be in Nirvana. It's bro rock. It's Planet Fitness rock. And I'm not saying it's not good. There are a lot of Foo Fighters songs I like. In fact, I would say Everlong is one of the top five rock songs of all time. Wow. It's that good.
Yeah.
But they're not groundbreaking in any way. They're a bro rock band that is held in a much higher esteem than it should be because of Dave Grohl's used to be in Nirvana and Pat Smear, of course. So Fred Durst didn't have that going for him, so he was just overexposed, white trash guy, and you know, people started to hate him quickly.
I always found Borland very interesting.
Yeah,
because he was just the odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, just
he didn't match the look. Of the
no,
band.
Not yeah. at all. And it, yeah. and it was like,
yeah, wearing these weird costumes.
Yeah, all the time,
like
and like really over the top. Like we're like more over the top than Genesis era. You know, Peter Gabriel. With in Genesis, like just the really weird costumes. Like he even takes it farther.
Yeah,
still does. I saw a picture of him recently. Actually, it was one that I thought was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, and then you had DJ Lethal of House of Pain on the turntable, so you had some crossover appeal there. Mm-hmm. Then the rhythm section was pretty potent. I mean, they were, you know, you almost can't say it without being ridiculed just reflexively, but there was some quality there, and they had a distinct sound.
And I would listen to Gold Cobra on purpose.
Oh, that's a great
song. I'll say that.
Great video, too. Have you seen the video?
Isn't it just like a rap video, basically?
A bunch of
cars and women.
Cars yeah. and women shaking their tits around. It's like it's filmed in a viaduct of some sort out in California, probably. But, that's a great song. And, occasional just shouts of fuck you sprinkled through there, you know, Tourette's-esque outbursts of profanity and stuff. That's a great video. And I'm with you on that one. That should be their next mashup.
So
Gold Cobra.
You told me about that one. It probably was a decade ago, maybe about that. And I was like, I'm not going to like this. I watched it and I found Fred Durst to be charming in it.
Yeah,
because you could tell he was not taking himself very seriously. Like there was some humor in it. It's kind of silly.
Well, there you go.
I thought, all right,
there's something about when a band is enormous and they've reached a saturation point and then they come down from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people might be more willing to give them a shot after that.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, so maybe that's what happened.
Maybe I just thought, okay. He's having a good time. It's not like overly
it's
serious.
Exactly. It's again, it's hard, if not impossible, for some people to get past the Fred Durst persona. But in terms of like, and I can't remember the producer who worked with them, and I think Korn as well. But did a good job of pulling out their unique qualities and. Making them sound decent for what they were doing. So.
Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate the bass playing going on here.
I was going to make a comment about that. I can't think of many Misfit songs that have bass runs like that.
No, I don't think.
I think this guy's taking really it a little bit over.
Well, and as other people opined, which we'll hear later, the guitar solo that kicks in was not indicative of Misfits, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Who cares?
That doesn't matter.
This transcends those boundaries.
Yeah, I'm not upset about it.
Plus, when you're these guys and you know you've hit a home run, you have carte blanche to take liberties and infuse a little of your own personality into it.
You can start acting like Durst in the Gold Cobra video.
Pretty much.
You know you've done it.
You can walk around with one glove and a whatever else. I forgot what else he was doing.
You can make out with Halle Berry in the Behind Blue Eyes video. That's another thing that outraged a lot of people. It's like, this scumbag is making out with one of the hottest women on the planet because he's in Limp Bizkit. A lot of people had problems with that.
Somehow more upsetting than the Billy Bob Thornton love scene with Halle Berry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she really... really, really did it on screen with some real top shelf dudes.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that a real lyric?
I feel like shit is in the is in the lyric sheet here.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if this middle section was really.
No, it is. It's pretty spot on from what I can see.
Okay, I know the chainsaw part coming up is, but that this section between that.
So, we're listening to this version, and Chris has the, obviously, the Limp Bizkit lyrics. Was anything passed up or cut out? Or
we not go, that I can see.
It's all there so
it's
far.
It's all there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, this is the best.
My suggestion is to keep your distance. Right now I'm dangerous.
That's perfect.
That palm muting is phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenally
it's
done.
Creating some drama here, where there was some in the original, but I think this might actually eclipse it.
And that right now I'm dangerous was a great Danzig take.
Yeah.
Back a chainsaw.
Now they did omit some lyrics here. That, it was we've all felt like shit and been treated like shit. All those motherfuckers that want to step up. I hope you know I pack a chainsaw. Those lyrics were omitted.
Mm. Okay.
That still works.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good.
I'm not going to question anything these guys did at this point.
There it is. Now, that was kind of like the end of Mother, right? Where he's kind of just moaning a bit. Right?
Yeah, that could be what the inspiration for that ending was. Sure. That makes sense. Oh.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the songwriters. It's all the guys at the band, plus Brendan O'Brien, who might have been the producer I'm talking about.
Wow, I didn't know they worked with him.
And Fred Durst has got his full name here. I'm realizing I share a middle name with him. William Frederick Durst. He even spells it the same way I do.
Wow.
Did not know that.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the I'm like a chainsaw. I'll skin your ass raw. It's what I've spoken about this on a previous episode, just completely unrelated, but that Woodstock 99 performance where they did this song and it totally just turned the whole thing over into just a riotous rape session, apparently.
Yeah.
Which, your brother Jay was there, right?
Yes, he was there. Yeah. We should have
had him on.
Had him on for some storytelling. Yeah.
But that was when Durst was like getting totally caught up with it, and his like voice went up and active. He's like, "Skin your ass raw." he was all fucking jacked up, and hey, say what you want about it, but you have that kind of effect on a crowd like that. You got something going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's on that. He's like surfing on a piece of wood,
right? Exactly,
in front of whatever it was, 200,000 people. I don't. Maybe that's the wrong number, but it's an enormous crowd.
A lot of people, yeah,
yeah. And they're all whipped up into a frenzy, and there's fires burning and stuff. That had to be a serious moment.
And in the new metal episode of Metal Evolution, that series that Sam Nunn did, Banger Films guy. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Davis of Korn totally threw Durst under the bus, said he single-handedly ruined Woodstock with that performance of Break Stuff and what transpired afterwards.
Because it got violent?
Yeah, that was the turning point of the whole thing. And then what, the Chili Peppers came on like right after or soon after? Yeah. And that's when like all the rapes and fires started. I mean,
wasn't that when they always say that they were playing Fire by Jimi Hendrix while there was a fire going on?
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of, I don't think they did it on purpose. I think it was just bad timing. Like, whoops.
Irony.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, let's talk about this Fred Durst thing. Is it really his fault? Why are we blaming him?
No.
I don't blame him, but if you watch that Metal Evolution episode, Jonathan Davis totally just says he ruined Woodstock and like probably ruined the perception of their whole generation of music. I mean, he was did not pull any punches on how he felt about it, which I think was a little extreme.
Maybe I'll have to review it.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, that's putting a little too much responsibility on the performer.
Yeah, and not the giant sea of people.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, this is something I've talked about many times. I know I talked about it with Nick kind of recently. But if you look at that time period of what was accepted pop culture, it was a crazy time.
Oh, absolutely.
Much crazier now. Like, here's a brief list. So this is when we were in high school, too. So we're, like, impressionable. And this is what was accepted pop culture entertainment. It was, like, Jackass, Fear Factor, South Park, Family Guy.
I mean,
Eminem,
wrestling was pretty adult at that point.
Wrestling was out of pretty control. Extreme, and then like also ECW too, not just WWE.
Yeah.
Different, crazy in different ways. I'm sure there's a lot more, but just everything that was like,
I mean, the internet was up and roaring at that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, it was Wild West in a way,
but basically it was accepted and encouraged crazy behavior. So well, when you put that many people together and then you get some of those bands to perform, people are going crazy.
Yeah, no. I don't
blame Fred Durst. Yeah.
No.
I mean,
doing their thing, what they were hired to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically Nick and I are not responsible for anything we do either.
Right.
But we're a victim of our
environment. But it's also not like Korn is Simon and Garfunkel in comparison. I mean, it was, you know, talking about, you know, the sexual abuse that Davis endured and all these other kind of creepy, lurid subject matter in the lyrics, down-tuned music. You know, there was nothing delicate about any of it. And it was all just very, you know, like you said, indicative of the times, the post-grunge era.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a professional jealousy involved in that?
Yeah.
Because Durst had that moment?
I would say yes.
Because, you know, does it go to the there's no such thing as bad publicity? If someone has an iconic moment like that, do other people wish they had it?
I would assume
even if there were some, you know, definitely negative consequences.
Or maybe you think if I was put in that position, I would have still had the crowd that hyped up, but they would have behaved. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what, the Stones and the Hell's Angels? It's not like the Stones were, they weren't egging on the crowd to do anything. The crowd just did it. These people had to, you know, these are the people who are accountable for their actions. It's not the guy on stage. He could say, go do something crazy, and everybody could be like, no, we're not doing that.
If anything, Mick tried to, you know, pretend he was a fucking hippie, you know, Woodstock guy trying to calm the crowd down, and they weren't having it.
Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters, everybody just cool out. It's like nobody's listening to you, and the fucking Hell's Angels are the security squad. Ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's just on paper and in reality a terrible idea.
Yeah, and along those lines, as those of us in this room know, Limp Bizkit is coming to the Festival of the Lakes right up the street
with
near Hammond.
With their big old Def Leppard logo.
Yeah. I'm 54 years old. I'm not going anywhere near that because you know they're going to be playing break stuff in the set amongst all their other stuff. That's going to be... After a pandemic, when people have been cooped up for a year and a half, some shit's going to go down there. I'm convinced of it. I would be interested in seeing them. I'm not going anywhere near that scene. No way.
Yeah. It's interesting that they're playing there, and then they're playing Lollapalooza like the next month. That must have been a contractual thing that they had this Festival of the Lakes thing.
You know,
I think from maybe last year.
Would it be such a
bad
deal to do Festival of the Lakes,
though? No, I don't mean that.
I guarantee you they're making it into the six figures.
And a lot of people are going to be there.
I don't mean that it's a bad thing. I just mean usually Festival of the Lakes talent doesn't do Lollapalooza. Like that's, because Lollapalooza is like... exclusive, like those bands don't do headlining shows within like 100 miles in the same year. You know what I mean? In the same summer.
Are you saying Sammy Hagar will not be at Lollapalooza?
Well, Journey is at Lollapalooza this year.
Yeah,
you know that?
No, I didn't.
I mean, see, that's the thing. It's like the Lollapalooza. The people who book Lollapalooza is similar to me to the people who book the entertainment on SNL. You know, it's like. They're the arbiters of cool, so you know certain bands don't have a shot in hell of ever performing on there again, or ever. But like SNL will have Ariana Grande and whatever the pop tart of the day is on there, so they're not opposed to having whatever the super top popular act of the day is.
I thought that's all that they did anymore.
Well,
for many years now.
I mean, they mix it up with more quote unquote legit acts, but you know, Lollapalooza, you know, the woke generation, the cool kids and stuff, and fucking Limp Bizkit is playing there. They're not even at Riot Fest.
They won't know what hit them.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, look, they know what they're getting into booking them, just like the people who booked 99 Woodstock knew what they were getting into.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine with it. So, interesting how Limp Bizkit is coming back into the consciousness of the younger woke generation. Very interesting.
We'll see how that pans out.
Well, they're sort
of I won't be anywhere near Wolf Lake on the occasion of their concert. There is Jay going to go?
I would assume he's going.
Yeah,
I would have to think so.
That's gonna be insane. No two ways about it.
Nick, you brought this one to the table.
Oh, yes.
Give us a vote.
Huge, huge Sweet Surrender.
Mm.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I'll just put it this way. This recording is better than either band. It is, in my opinion.
I mean, you take two great things and put them together. That's what you get.
This is a Reese's cup.
Yeah.
Is what we just listened to.
Some chocolate, some peanut butter.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Exponentially better.
So that's all I had to say.
What is that phrase? Greater than the sum of its parts or whatever? That's what this is.
Yeah, I agree. Sweet Surrender for me.
Ooh, two.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
I mean, I'm not familiar with the Misfits. I'm much more familiar with the mockery of Glenn Danzig and... stuff like that, and I'm 100% in favor of it. I just think it's hilarious, and just the coming up with this mashup and then executing it on this level is just worthy of my highest praise. Like I said, as recently today in the middle of the workday, I had this going on a loop for like at least 20 minutes. So I mean, so that would mean I heard it, you know, probably 10 times in a row. Not sick of it whatsoever. The vocal performance is masterful.
And you didn't know that Nick was picking this one, did you?
No, I didn't know it today. No.
Yeah, I was all set to get into the listener submission list, and I thought that it was going to come up one of these weeks. And I just, for the heck of it, looked it up. When is Glenn Danzig's birthday? Maybe it's coming up soon. Yeah, it's next week.
You have to do it.
Yeah. Next week as of this recording. It's this week as of the release of this episode.
Yes. Yeah. So, 2 days from the release date, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, at that point, it's fate and you had to do it.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you did. And I, too, will give this one a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
Like I said at the beginning, I saw this posted. I thought, I don't know about this. This is not going to be. I just didn't have high hopes. I thought that the person doing it wouldn't have. It sounds weird to say taken it as seriously as they did, because there's a lot of humor in it. But I just thought it would be like a complete goof, or like a mashup where they actually used parts of the real songs, which could have been okay, but I wasn't sure what to expect when I heard it. Like you said, instantly a bullseye. Like, yeah. Oh, and then when the guy's voice came in, okay, this is awesome. This guy's my hero.
Kind of like a Leslie Nielsen sort of approach. You want to take it somewhat seriously.
Yeah. But it's humor.
The content is goofy, but the approach is serious.
Yeah, exactly. And this guy or group of people executed it perfectly.
Yeah, these guys with one song are on the echelon of the My Dick guys. Yeah. No question about it. One faction is extremely prolific. The other one, as far as we know, has one song out. Equal levels of quality.
That happens sometimes. Sometimes there's a band with 25 albums. There's a band with one or two albums, and you view them as peers.
Absolutely.
So
the Blizzard of Oz band, if you will.
Well, you were talking about Nirvana earlier.
Them too.
There's another one. Well, I knew we'd get here. It's not a surprise to me.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you!
Three sweet surrenders. A clean sweep takes us to the next round, where we will determine if the three rock and roll boners in this room believe that All Hell Breaks Stuff is a rock and roll boner classic. Big debate here. Big debate. Big debate.
Well, I have my vote.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right, my vote's in. How about Nick, Chris, Andy?
Okay.
Could do that.
Works for me.
Rock.
Roll.
Big, hairy boner.
How come he's not bowling against some of these women? How come they're not doing co-ed? They're afraid that might happen.
A Weber challenge?
That would be uncomfortable.
They've done something like that recently. They mix it up. And I've said this for a long time. Bowling is absolutely the one sport where men and women can compete against each other, and there's no physical advantage, really. Mm-hmm. It's all about accuracy. You know, a little bit about rev rate and whatnot, but, you know, they should, that sport, game, whatever you want to call it, should be co-ed, just period. Mm-hmm. There should be no separation there. That would really set bowling apart from the other sports out there.
Would be interesting. Any more thoughts, Nick? Any closing thoughts on that? Slam dunk.
That was an absolute slam dunk. I wanted to do just a quick, because it was a Misfits kind of a tie-in. Mm-hmm. Someone I was friendly with, I just found out, had passed away a couple months ago, actually. I hadn't been on social media very much.
Yeah.
We had met up with them at the Gene Simmons solo show a few years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, you told us.
Yeah, Blade Braxton is what he went by. And I just found out about it. And it's, yeah, pretty shocked and pretty sad about it. But, yeah, he was a gigantic Misfits fan. So I figured I'd take advantage of this moment to just throw out a quick dedication.
That's nice. That's what a bummer.
Yeah,
he would have enjoyed this mash.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling he would. Yeah, he would have loved that.
I mean, I don't know anybody who. I mean, come in with your preconceptions or whatever. How you can listen to this and not just find it completely hilarious? The execution of it, the inflection of the vocals, turning these lyrics into like a up-tempo punk rock song like this. Mm-hmm. Absolute masterpiece.
Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Hi, guys. This is Paul Anka, and you're listening to one of my favorite hangout places, Pod of Thunder. Stay tuned and don't miss it daily. They got it down. They do it my way. Anka, checking out.
Oh, yes. Yards of questions,
motherfucker! I give them.
Sing away.
And this has been a just rapid fire episode.
There's a lot happening today.
Action!
And he's earning his producer of the year.
All right, this is where I lose my producer of the year title. Got to pick a good yard of questions here. Got a few this week that looked promising, but I usually don't want to spoil them. Okay, No. right here. Okay, this looks fun. This week's Yardo Questions comes to us from Paul McDonald. Paul McDonald says, great job keeping up the show through the pandemic. We all need a laugh.
What else were we going to do? I mean, if you can't podcast throughout the pandemic, you really can't do anything. So, I mean, I appreciate the kudos, but it wasn't really that much of a chore for us.
Yeah. It's shit else to do.
I mean, the only bummer is, Tooge didn't blow through town every few months and have a meet up with him, although we've got one looming in the future when they come back around. So
yeah, it looks
so like that's the best part of it, the pandemic being over. So
yeah.
For us, anyway.
All right, question one. What live album has the best opening track for you?
Let's see here.
Well, mine's an easy one. We've already covered it on the show. Queen Live Killers, the jacked up version of We Will Rock You going into Let Me Entertain You. Nothing tops that for me. We've done an episode about it. Look for it. Nothing comes close for me.
I'm going to go with one that I've mentioned before. And I won't say it's like far and away better than other ones that I would. It's kind of in a rotating maybe number one. Because, well, I'll throw just out there. I mean, I Don't Know from Tribute is always a top one for me, but, I've mentioned that live, album by the Angels, the Live Line.
Okay.
The opening track Coming Down is excellent as well as pretty much every other track on the album. Highly recommend it. But yeah, it's a lot of intensity in that first track.
So check it out. Question two. What bands with multiple lead singers do you appreciate? I think this was way more common in the 70s. You just don't see it as much now.
That's true. There's one that I, maybe in recent months, I'd come to appreciate. I've looked into them. I've been meaning to purchase a vinyl of one of their albums. That's the Bus Boys.
There you go.
They have, there's the guy who's their typical singer, but then there's, I was watching, I think it was like from the show Fridays. They had a song called KKK. And the bass player sang it, and it just like, and then like there's a guy, he's almost like the guy from the Boss Tones that would kind of just dance, and but he, this guy would say things into the mic, but he was almost like that kind of performer.
Okay,
so they had that guy too. So I've been every once in a while looking them up and appreciating really great band, and of course then Eddie Murphy's performing with them in some cases and things like that, so yeah, I'm gonna go with them.
The guitarist in Sammy Hagar's Circle used to be in the Bus Boys.
That's true, yeah.
Was he an original member? Is he that dating all the way back?
I think, yeah, back from like the late 70s, I think. Wow. Yeah.
You know, he was that old.
And that's the guy who's going to be performing here.
I don't know.
Or no.
It's not the Circle. It's Sammy Hagar and Friends.
So it's possible.
Who knows who he's going to bring with him.
Okay.
Never mind. Some local yokels.
Yeah.
Might call us.
A member of the Wabaritas or two. Who knows?
He's going to call us. Boy, is he going to be disappointed.
Bring Mark McGrath with him.
we'll say sorry. We're switching venues this year.
Yeah. We'll pull a Gene Simmons on him. We won't answer his calls. Just let it go to voicemail. Not interested. My pick would be ZZ Top. Most songs that are popular by them have Billy Gibbons on the vocal, but when Dusty Hill steps up to the mic, he's got a really nice higher register tone to his voice, but also very cool. And for casual fans, they may not have heard as much Dusty Hill vocals, but they're sprinkled throughout the catalog and always quite good.
He may have the stronger voice anyway, I would say.
I think from a power standpoint, he definitely does. Hmm. But
it's kind of like a Glenn Hughes, David Coverdale situation.
Yeah, almost.
They're
not that histrionic, but similar.
No, but, yeah.
Similar dynamic going on there, sure.
Question three. With all the quote-unquote supergroups that have formed in the last 20 years, like Audioslave, KXM, Black Country Communion, etc.
Glenn Hughes, another one.
Do you have any favorites or an album that was a killer effort? Thank you, Paul.
Dead Daisies were really good when we saw them open for Kiss the one time. And, I mean, they've gone on to record some really good stuff, too. And have it, when one guy leaves... Well, wasn't Hughes in Dead Daisies also?
He is them now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah, they've had a million people passing through that ranks.
I don't know. I mean, there are quite a few Velvet Revolver tracks that I liked, so yeah, I mean, you can't deny that. That they were pretty great, but volatile.
Well, and there's another one of those bands, just had two albums out, but did quite good with both of them. I still fail to understand all the disdain that they got from people. It's just people simply unable to accept anything other than Guns N' Roses or STP, but I mean, both those albums are quality. The first one had more of a Use Your Illusion vibe, and then the second one was way more in the STP land, but both those albums are excellent, in my opinion.
I've got kind of a counter question to that.
Okay.
Are there any bands that have had significant longevity that started out as a quote-unquote supergroup? Or do they burn out after a couple albums usually? Well, usually I think they do, but are there any bands that are like legacy acts now that started out as that? I can't think of any.
No, they, especially if they, like the bands that came from were previously of renown. You know, you usually look at 2-3 albums tops, and then they peter out because of the egos, and also, you know, just the adventurous nature of the guys in the band. I'll say I like Black Country Communion. I own all the albums they put out. There's a lot of quality stuff there. And the other one, I think you would say fits the bill, but to me it's close enough, would be Black Star Riders with Scott Gorham of Thin Lizzy, Ricky Warwick, Damon Johnson of Brother Kane, who's not, Alice Cooper, who's not in the band anymore, which is a shame. But Jimmy DeGrasso on drums, who's not in the band anymore. Marco Mendoza, who's not in the band anymore.
Jeez.
But they definitely fit the supergroup mold, and their first three albums are all excellent. Big fan.
Have Hollywood Vampires released their album? Did they have an album out?
I think so.
I never got around to checking it out. I'm just, because that's a super group for sure. I just never really pursued them much.
You would probably like them, I would think.
There's a lot there that a lot of elements at least, yeah, that I'm a big fan of. So
it looks like there are two albums.
Oh, are there?
2015.
Okay, I guess I'm really, I really didn't pay attention.
2019. Oh, wait, so their first album was, it says it was covers heavy.
Okay,
it says if that was the main event, then this album is, or if that was the opening act, this album is the main event.
So the second album is originals?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check that out. I've been aware of them as a live act.
16 songs, 57 minutes. That's a big listen. Okay. All right, so there you go. Something for you to check out, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hunker down on that.
All righty, well, thank you to Paul McDonald for that Yardo questions. I guess I have to send Nick a sticker in the mail for picking this song for this week. So I'll do that tomorrow.
I already got one.
Okay. I'll just stick yours on the Panera drive-thru thing.
Any good ones there lately?
You know, I've been going there almost every day for work, but I haven't gone in the drive-thru, so I don't know.
You go there and actually work?
Yeah.
Yeah? How's that going?
Fine. Pretty good. I'm not joking today, because it's been really hot lately for the past couple weeks, but today was like 75, I think, at the high. Inside Panera while I was working, I could see my breath the whole time where I was sitting. Not joking. It was that cold.
Wow.
So... they can't figure out the temperature.
Can't call an audible, huh?
No.
Just
hey, it's set to what it's set.
It's set for the next few months.
Yep.
Come on, Panera.
Yeah.
Last bastion for weirdos to.
So many job interviews taking place around you. That's such a weird phenomenon. Let's meet at Panera and conduct a loud job interview with people eating next to you.
For not necessarily jobs at Panera.
No, none general, for Panera. Yeah.
I met my last time I did a job interview. I met a guy at McDonald's.
Yeah. Right, and you did it there? Like you
did it at McDonald's.
It's weird.
Yeah.
That's so
for
weird.
Your current job?
Yeah, it ended up being my current job, yeah.
So strange.
Like why don't they interview you at the fucking facility where you're going to be working?
It was kind of like
this business.
It was sort of like a pre-interview, I guess, cuz then I had to interview again at the facility, but the first meetup was at McDonald's.
Hmm. I remember many years ago a friend of ours, he was working in like the printer business, computer stuff business. And he had an interview based on that for like a parallel move pretty much for some other company. And the woman's like, yeah, meet me at Panera on this day. So he went in there and he had like a polo shirt and khakis. And she's like, this, your outfit is not very professional. It's like, you asked me to meet you at a Panera for a job interview. I think that was the end of the whole thing.
Yeah, what, are you supposed to show up in a fucking suit?
Look like an idiot. Panera? Yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah, I don't.
Fools. But pretty much every day I'm in there, I see at least one happen. I don't know why that's such a thing.
Yeah, that's strange to me.
Yeah. All right. You can add some songs on the list. Send in a Yardo questions. Podofthunder.com and make it happen. And you know what you should do right now? Since you heard all hell breaks stuff cut up into whatever 10, 20, 30 second chunks, listen to the whole thing in its entirety. You know what you need to do? Go ahead and...